2-1. Is hit deep to right field. This baby is long gone. Chisenhall with a three-run homer to right field. His second home run of the night, giving 10 on the year. And that blows it open here for the Indians.
Uh-oh.
Francisco Lindor with a high drive to deep right field, and that one is gone. Oh, man, that's the Indians' fourth home run of the night. There's a long fly ball to deep right field, and it is gone to Souvenir City. Ramirez just climbed the 23-foot wall and right.
This guy is on fire.
This man has just hit everything in sight way out of here. Once again, he drives one to the second deck in left field for a home run. 15th home run of the year by Encarnacion. And there's another high fly ball, deep left field. Rosario is out of room. It's out of here once again. Edwin Encarnacion sends one to the middle deck in left field. His second straight homer in the game. And it's his third home run of the weekend.
Right now, he is getting locked in, and he's dangerous. Even the last at-bat lane right was the ball to right field. After pulling those balls for home runs, sometimes, when you get a guy like Eddie, you kind of hope that there's days like, three-run homer, and you win some games because of that.
George! On a thumper. That's an I-mean-it throwdown. Here comes George. The score all on the floor, we know that. Takes it inside. Just almost impossible to guard this guy one-on-one. Ball, George flared out. Catch and shoot. And he gets it for three. George kept it back. Settles for one and splashed it. George created space. Oh, and he got it to go. Here comes Paul George against Kevin Love. At the top, still finished it. Paul George spins away, sends it. Oh, how huge has he been down the stretch. He's got 40.
This is, to me, shows how much interest they have already. The fact that they are even entertaining the phone call from the Pacers without having an assurance from Paul George that he will indeed give them a verbal commitment to staying in Cleveland long term beyond a quote-unquote rental season shows that they're very serious in their interest. You look at what the Cavs have, the only piece that would make sense in terms of who they potentially would be willing to give up and who the Indiana Pacers would have interest in taking back would be Kevin Love. And the Cavs have to be able to look themselves in the mirror and answer this question. Does Paul George give us a better chance in a seven-game series against the Golden State Warriors than Kevin Love does? And if that answer is yes, then you probably should make that trade, even if it is only for one season, because as we all know, LeBron's going into year 15 next year, and next year is the only guaranteed year remaining for LeBron James in Cleveland.
LeBron's under contract for one more year. So in LeBron's eyes, he says, go get me Paul George. And Dan Gilbert's going to say, wait a minute, LeBron. Wait a minute here. I can't spend all this money and trade away a guy that I've got under contract for multiple more years in Kevin Love. I can't gamble that the two of you guys aren't going to walk on me. And LeBron, his mindset is, let's try to win the 2018 NBA championship. That's what we're going to try to do. And Dan Gilbert can't think that way.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
My, oh my, what a quandary we have found ourselves in now. Welcome to the Extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader. Thanks for being with us. I'll tell you what, really great montage there by Jim Cushion. A lot of really interesting things to talk about. Victor Martinez's health was not in that. We're going to talk about that a little bit and, a bit of a serious concern, not just about his baseball health, but his health period when you're talking about somebody's heart. We'll get into that. The Indians on the baseball front with a tremendous weekend. Jim Cushion, you remember I said on Thursday, because we were off the air, well, not off, we weren't off the air, but the show was off
right.
On Friday because I had a personal day.
Of course.
And I said to you on Thursday, I said, God willing, somehow the Indians could sweep the Twins in a four-gamer and take a two-game lead. Maybe that would be the turning point in the season as they've been kind of treading water, spinning their tires, stuck in the mud. Pick your euphemism there. They're all pretty much the same. It would be the turning point in the season. And what did they do? They went out there and swept the Minnesota Twins in four games at Target Field, looked absolutely outstanding, pitching, timely hitting. Edwin Encarnacion has remembered that he is indeed Edwin Encarnacion. He is tearing the cover off the ball. His slow start for a month plus is history now, and maybe now the Indians are going to start to separate away from the pack. And while that's good news if you're an Indians fan, It's bad news if you are a Tigers fan, who are now 4.5 back after this weekend's baseball.
Yeah, and that's a split of the four games with a Tampa team that wants to hang around the 500 mark, which, you know, in this age of the two wild cards, if you're basically, it's sad to say, but if you're at the 500 mark, you're technically in the race. Tampa's been able to maintain that. And then, as you mentioned, you know, a minute ago, that the Tigers have, you know, some of their own issues right now, some bad, some not so bad. The obvious bad one that you mentioned was Victor Martinez. Now, he's going to be kept home here in Detroit all week. They're on a 7-game West Coast trip, the Tigers are, to Seattle and then San Diego. Victor is not traveling with the team at all. They're hoping he can maybe start working out and getting back in the swing of things maybe by next week. But obviously, you know, with irregular heartbeats, that's just something you can't mess with.
No, that's seriously dangerous stuff, obviously. And that's where you stop talking about, well, can his, you know, rotator cuff, you know, heal enough to be back to what he was. We're not talking about how well he can perform. You're talking about, you know, I don't want to be overdramatic and say life and death. I'm not suggesting he's, you know, in any kind of a situation like that. But it is, you are talking about your life. You're talking about your health as a person, not your ability to still perform as an athlete.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, you know, in terms of his abilities on the field in 2017, they haven't lived up to what we've seen in the past. Before this happened, we were starting to ask, you know, are we getting to the end of the line for somebody like a Victor Martinez, who basically is a DH only, you know, at this point, which would, of course, mean he probably wouldn't play upcoming in the weekend anyway, because the latter of those is at San Diego. That's an NL ballpark, so there wouldn't be a DH anyway.
Right.
So it's obviously something, you know, to monitor. And for the Tigers, they're still, you know, as a whole, still can't quite get there. I mean, they've had a couple of chances. I believe they are now 0-3, because there was a chance earlier this weekend before Tampa turned the tide in that series. They're now, I believe, 0-3 with chances to, you know, hit 500 and go over since the last time they were above 500, which, what is it, June 19th, which was over a month ago now. And therefore, you're also getting close to something we were talking about in May when it comes to the Tigers. The little rumor at the time was if they're under 500 at the end of June, you might start seeing the beginnings of the of a possible sell-off. And, you know, for Tigers fans, if you're going to stay up late tonight, I said not so bad news. The reason I phrased it that way is that'll be Anibal Sanchez back up with the big club, you know, to make the start. Buck Farmer got a little shelled yesterday. They sent him back down. Who knows what you're going to get out of Anibal Sanchez? He was okay, but you need a guy like him to be better than okay when pitching at AAA, and he was just kind of okay. So Tigers kind of just skimming along right now, and you got to wonder how much longer they can go at these kind of just hanging around below 500 without making some kind of positive direction move. And if those don't happen, then maybe the sell-off begins. Who knows?
Maybe indeed. Maybe indeed. So we're going to get into a lot of baseball, probably in the second hour more so, especially talking about the way the Indians have, well, toward the end of the first hour, too, because coming up at 3:35. We're going to talk to Dennis Maniloff, our friend who covers all sports out of Cleveland, and we're going to talk to him about the rest of that montage. You know, we gave you a bunch of baseball stuff. Then it's PG-13, and whether or not Paul George is indeed on his way to play basketball with LeBron James in Cleveland, and whether or not that's a good idea or not for everybody involved, especially when you consider short-term and long-term. Kush, you played in that montage, the very last voice. We heard from Dave McMenamin, and then we also heard from Brian Windhorst.
Right.
And I think he summarized the problem here when you're talking about all of these rumors. And for those who don't know, the story is Paul George has told over the weekend, it was learned yesterday, really, has told the Indiana Pacers that he plans to leave as a free agent after 2018. And let me say this about that before I get into the rest of what I was going to say. I was listening to Greeny and Golick this morning, as always I try to do on with Mike and Mike in the morning, and I certainly hope you do too, every day right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. They were so effusive in their praise for Paul George and the way he was helping out Indiana by telling them now that he was going to leave after next year so that it would be doing the right thing for them, so he wouldn't leave them as a free agent and they get nothing. And at least now they can trade him for some value. It might not be the best value because it's going to be, you know, probably proverbially speaking, talent-wise speaking, pennies on the dollar, if you will, because everybody knows the Pacers are going to be desperate to sell, to trade, to unload him, and they'll take whatever, you know, they can get.
And I think it's a factor in this in the long run, whether it's Cavs or not.
Hold on. I'm making a point here. Now you threw me off my point. Greeny and Golic were effusive in their praise for him on that regard, as if this was some sort of a magnanimous gesture on Paul George's part. In other words, instead of pulling a LeBron in his free agent summer, saying, I'm out, see ya, and they didn't know it was coming, or instead of pulling a Durant after their season ended, I'm out, you got nothing left, he's telling them ahead of time so they can try to trade him and get something for it. There may be a little bit of truth to that, a little bit, but don't think that Paul George is being, you know, I'm just looking out for the interests of the Pacers here. I'm giving them some advance notice. That's Paul George's way of making his exit a year early. He's under contract with them for next year, of course. And he's saying, I will leave after next year. So you might as well trade me now after this year and before this next season starts so you can get something for me. In other words, I don't want to play here next year either. I don't know why neither one of them seem to see that, talking about Mike or Mike. That this is a little bit self-serving for Paul George as well. I want to get out. I'm under contract. Because especially because the way the report came down, it was in the vein of, well, I really, really gave my best to this franchise, but we're not winning and we're not close to winning, and I really want to go play for a winner. But, oh, by the way, I really have my heart set on going to play for the Lakers. Wait, what? You're tired of losing and you want to go play for a winner? And your way to make that happen is to go play for the Lakers? The Lakers are awful. Lakers are nowhere near being a winner, let alone a championship contender. They got the number two pick in the draft. Might be Lonzo Ball. That might be a great thing. It might not be a great thing. Time will tell. But they're not a winner. But he basically said, I want out. And I'm going to be out after this coming year, so you might as well do it now. It's because he wants to do it now. He wants to play the 2017-2018 season in another city, whether it's the Lakers or not. That's what this is all about. So I had to say that before we can move on to get to the other point I'm trying to make. The part that Wendy brought up at the very end there, and Jim, can you play that again? If you can take a second to get that ready, because I want to hear Windhorst again explaining the situation. The 1 year nature, the rental, excuse me, if you will, of Paul George. Now, does it mean that Paul George can't change his mind a year from now if he has a great experience in a city on a contending team and say, you know what, I like what we did here and I like what we could do here again in the future for a championship run. I don't want to start by rebuilding as a member of the Lakers. You know, in the 2018-2019 season, yeah, that is possible, absolutely. But the danger is real, because not only in an event like this, you know, in a situation like this, not only would Paul George be on a one-year rental deal who could very well leave for the Lakers, you know who else at the end of this coming season is also potentially able to leave for the Lakers or for the Spurs or for the Clippers, or for wherever the heck he wants to go, and that would be LeBron James.
Right.
Let's hear Wendy again, please.
LeBron's under contract for one more year. So in LeBron's eyes, he says, go get me Paul George. And Dan Gilbert's going to say, wait a minute, LeBron. Wait a minute here. I can't spend all this money and trade away a guy that I've got under contract for multiple more years in Kevin Love. I can't gamble that the two of you guys aren't going to walk on me. And LeBron, his mindset is, let's try to win the 2018 NBA championship. That's what we're going to try to do. And Dan Gilbert can't think that way.
And that last sentence says it all, doesn't it, Kush?
I think so.
LeBron says we should try to win the 2017/18 championship. Get Paul George. Never mind that he's only here for 1 year. Never mind that I'm only here for 1 year. Let's just try to do that. And if we don't do it, and we both walk away, sorry, Gil. And I don't know why I just shortened Dan Gilbert to Gil. Sorry, Gilby. But good luck building that without us. Kevin Love is gone. I'm gone. George is gone. And, oh, by the way, you're left with Kyrie and a whole bunch of ham sandwiches. That's not exactly going to be something Dan Gilbert is interested in doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's – Now, the only thing is, because obviously we first started hearing these stories as we talked about, what, after game three, so that would be a week and a half ago now when the Cavs went down 0-3, you first started hearing, oh, watch out there for the, you know, Kevin Love maybe being traded for, yeah, and Paul George maybe a guy that's out there. You know, the only thing, and please note, I'm against them having to trade Kevin Love. And we kind of went over this, you know, back on Thursday and before, and I'm sure we'll end up going over it again. I'm not going to go into all the numbers now.
I'm against it right now.
Right.
I was against it then. I'm against it now. And I'll be against it tomorrow, but go ahead.
Right. But my thing is the only possible thing that I'm thinking of when it comes to George and the whole, well, you know, you have to get assurances because it would only be a one-year rental. There is a part of me that says, yeah, well, LeBron may only be a Cleveland Cavalier for one more year. You get one more minimum shot at the Warriors and a title chance. Then who knows? If LeBron leaves, it, you know, it all gets, you know, busted.
Which is all
up
the more reason
point.
Not to make this deal. Because if LeBron was to leave and Paul George leaves, Paul George would have already necessitated Kevin Love leaving.
So you'd have
now to... you're left with one star, Kyrie Irving,
yep,
and nobody else.
Right.
If you stand pat, or at least, you know, if you keep Kevin Love, if you convince them to take, you know, let's say J.R. Smith and Amon Shumpert and something else for
whatever
Paul George.
Whatever makes the money work, right.
Right. Then now we're talking where if they were to leave, you would still be left with at least a two-star Eastern Conference team that could continue to contend. You would have a Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love pairing that now you got to start looking and see what you can add to in the event. This is all obviously extraordinarily hypothetical, but in the hypothetical event in which LeBron left and Paul George did follow his statement to the letter that he wants to go play for the Lakers and signs a, you know, a max deal that you can sign next after next season.
Right.
Now you at least have Kyrie and Kevin Love and, you know, Tristan would still be there and the rest of the pieces, whatever they're able to assemble to build, mm-hmm, you know, as a better bench this year than they had last year. Then you're still, you know,
you still should be a reasonably playoff team in the Eastern Conference. Let's put it at least that way. You know,
what was that?
You still, with that kind of lineup, without LeBron, in the East, you still should be a playoff team. They shouldn't fall off the face of the earth to 19-63.
Jim, stop. Stop. I mean, playoff team?
Playoffs?
There would be a top three team still in the East with that kind of a lineup. I mean, that's the thing.
If
they were to lose Kevin
now.
Love, if they were to lose Kevin Love in a trade for Paul George, and then George and LeBron walk, and now they're out. Love, LeBron, and George, which is the gamble here, mm-hmm, that Dan Gilbert cannot take. Now it's Kyrie Irving and, as I said, a bunch of ham sandwiches. And guess what? That would not be a playoff team. Or if it was, it might squeak into an 8 spot and then just be in, you know, first-round purgatory hell.
At which point you probably should trade Irving for assets and draft picks at that point.
And in other words, reboot the whole entire franchise. Mm-hmm. All to make a one-year run with Paul George on a team that's still, in my opinion, with LeBron, Kyrie, and Paul George, but minus what Kevin Love brings, especially as a rebounder, a passer, an outlet guy,
yeah,
and, of course, a spot-up shooter who still scores for you either in the paint or on that spot-up three,
good
21
call.
Points a game, you're going to that's not going to beat Golden State anyway.
No.
So you are essentially gutting the heart of the team if you run that risk. Now, it might pay off in a championship. If it did pay off in a championship, if the acquisition of Paul George to this core, minus Kevin Love, somehow managed to beat Golden State next June, then maybe Paul George says, damn, that's what it feels like? LeBron, let's stay here. Let's sign new deals. And LeBron will sign another, let's say, 3-year deal, 2-year deal, maybe another 1-year deal. You know how he is.
Right, right.
Then maybe, we keep on rolling. We keep on running. But that's one hell of a gamble, as Windy said. LeBron might say, let's try to do this now. Dan Gilbert might say, if it fails and you walk and George walks and you leave me with just Kyrie and nothing else, you decimate my franchise. I can't do that. And if I'm Dan Gilbert, That's exactly what I'm saying right now.
And that has to be something, an equation that they're playing into all this. It really does, because, you know, a Cavs team minus LeBron, but still with Love and Irving, you know, considering all the things that they're everybody's talking about with the LeBron possibly leaving thing, it's all out west, you know, right? Clippers, Lakers,
San Antonio.
So it'd be out west, which would, you know, throw open the entire Eastern Conference once again. And yeah, a team led by Kyrie and Love.
I think a team headed by Kyrie and Love would be pretty damn competitive in the Eastern Conference.
I gotta believe they wouldn't be 19-63 like the first post LeBron team after he made his, you know, the first decision. I'd like to think they wouldn't be 19-63 like that team.
Why are you still talking like that? You keep talking like if LeBron leaves, it's trash. Like, that's the second time now you've said they might make the playoffs with Kyrie and Kevin Love.
I'll rephrase that. They should still make the playoffs and at least get out of round
19-63.
One.
I mean, right. No. Yeah. I mean, let's be realistic here. How much talent is there really in the Eastern Conference right now outside of the Cavaliers? Not very damn much. We saw that the pretend talent of the Wizards couldn't even get past the Celtics.
Right.
We saw that the pretend talent of the Celtics was nowhere near good enough to get past the Cavaliers.
And they're obviously someone to keep an eye on considering what they did
over the
weekend.
I'm going to get there. Bear with me. Work with me here. The point is, even a LeBron-less Cavaliers. Now, and that's the other part about this, too. People need to understand this, that if LeBron James were to leave again after this coming season, if he was to leave again, it's not like they're replacing him in the lineup with Richard Jefferson, like they might for a 2 or 3 minute resting period now at the end of the first quarter.
Right.
When everybody freaks out and says, oh my God, did you see that? I got outscored by 12, you know, when LeBron went down. They're going to replace him with another starter at the number three position. Secondly, even without LeBron James, you're going to find an entirely different system, an entirely different offensive strategy employed by Tyronn Lue. Right now, the offense is built around LeBron James. And then Kyrie plays off of that, and Kevin Love plays off of that. If LeBron James isn't there, they're going to have an entirely different strategy that will be built around Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, two 20-plus point-per-game scorers, two all-stars, two of the best in the game at their position, point guard and power forward. And they will change things, you know, completely. And when they do, and then they add a new starting three that will not be LeBron James, of course, but will be just an NBA-caliber starter, not a 35-year-old on bad legs, that will probably still be good enough to be at least the third-best team in the East.
Yeah.
You know, behind this Boston team, which is making all kinds of new dramatic moves with the trade today of the number one pick to Philadelphia for the number three pick.
That is true. Went official today, didn't it? I was just saying that is true because that, you know, we heard about it over the weekend, but I believe the details went official today.
Yes, it did.
Right.
It did within the last hour or two, actually.
Okay, that sounds right, yeah.
So if it's a 2 through 5 next year's Philadelphia pick, then Boston gets that. If it's not, then they get the number one, I think it's the year after. So the point being that they're about, it's anybody's guess what Danny Ainge is up to here, but something that I heard this morning makes a lot of sense to me. There was talk going into Thursday's draft that, holy crap, it's 3:31. What are we doing? We got to talk to Maniloff here. this is going so fast. Honestly, it's crazy. It's really, really crazy because so much happened in the last 48 hours in this. All right, let me get a timeout for Maniloff. There was talk, by the way, that Philly was going to move the number three pick to Chicago for Jimmy Butler. And now that Boston has made the trade with 1 for 3, it may be very well that they have that in mind. No, we'll make the number three trade to Chicago for Jimmy Butler and acquire that veteran scorer that we need, as opposed to Markelle Fultz, who plays point guard, and we kind of already have a 29-point-a-game scorer at point guard by the name of Isaiah Thomas. So that's just another little piece to this zany puzzle that we're building. Let me get a timeout here. Maniloff coming up next right here on the Ticket.
Back to the Bob France Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
I feel like we did 2 hours of radio in that first half-hour segment, to be honest. Actually, 20 minutes or so after the top-of-the-hour montage. Wow. I mean, it packed a lot of stuff, a lot of opinions, a lot of information.
We didn't even get to it all, either.
What's that?
We didn't even get to it all, really,
oh, not
either.
Even close. I had to slam on the brakes there because I realized it was 3:31, and we got to get out and get ready for Dennis Manilow to talk a little bit about this, as the Indiana Pacers are reportedly reaching out to and making contact with the Cavaliers to see if they're interested in making a deal for Paul George, now that George has made it official to the Pacers that he is going to leave after his free agent, or after his next season, I should say, when he becomes a free agent, leading, of course, to the Pacers' feverish attempts to move him now so they don't get stuck with nothing after he departs. Dennis Manilow is a sports writer for the Cleveland Plain Dealer and for the Northeast Ohio Media Group, joining us now right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. D-Man, how are you, brother?
Bobby France.
Good to talk to you as always. You know, you and I talked. In fact, I think everybody has talked at some point or another during the NBA Finals run made by the Warriors over the Cavaliers, and then of course when it ended in five, about what the Cavaliers had to add to catch up to the Warriors to close that gap. And I have said, and I think you have too, it's not possible to just add a piece to do that because the Warriors were able to add the second best player on the planet, and there is not a second-best player on the planet available to add to counter that. And second of all, they were able to do it in free agency, and the Cavaliers do not have cap space to do such a thing, even if such a player was available. They would have to make a trade. And anything they wanted to add, like a Paul George, is going to involve the loss of a big piece of their puzzle. And that's where we sit right now. So from what you've heard in the last 24 hours, Dennis Manilow, what do you think the likelihood is that Dan Gilbert will give up a big piece of their puzzle for what could potentially be a one-year rental of Paul George?
Well, I think the likelihood is high if Cleveland's package is agreeable to Indiana, because Indiana's going to have a bunch of suitors, not just the a bunch of potential partners, not just the Cavs. I think that Kevin Love is definitely the chip, simply because he has value. I'm sure they would like to unload Thompson, but he's not worth what he's getting paid, and some in a lot of people's eyes, Love is, or closer to what he's worth than Thompson, and certainly, you know, Love, Smith and Shumpert, those guys are really bit parts. They're not going to interest Indiana all that much. So if a trade does come down, it'll be with Love involved. And no, I don't think the Cavs would hesitate. I realize that they would be subtracting in order to add, but in this scenario, based on what you said at the top of this, there's two options. Either you don't add, which is not an option, or you don't shuffle the deck at least, which is not an option, or you add via trade, because you can't do it in the free agency, as you pointed out, with the salary cap. So you're going to have to give up something to get something. I think this falls under the category of just change the look. All right. If you are able to do it. And again, I think I still put the odds at less than 50-50 that the Cavs can pull this off and that Indiana would be agreeable to it. But let's say it is.
Would you be agreeable to it?
Yes, I would. I would because, you know me, I've never been a huge Love guy, but it's not so much denigrating Love as it is just changing up the look a little bit and giving Golden State potentially a different look. That's the key here. Is I just don't think that this group of Cavaliers can come back next year and claim that they're dedicated and claim that they're hungry and claim that they want to play better defense and have it matter. You know, I don't think it matters with this group. I think it's more of a fait accompli. But if you change things to this extent, then you at least can say, all right, well, Golden State or whomever in the West hasn't seen this, so maybe this is the answer that we've been looking for.
So here's, in a nutshell, what they would be doing in such a scenario, and one that you're saying you would sign off on. They would essentially be saying, for a one-year run, we're willing to decimate the core of this team if things break incorrectly or break wrong for them at the end of next season. And let me explain what I mean by that by way of Brian Windhorst.
LeBron's under contract for one more year. So in LeBron's eyes, he says, go get me Paul George. And Dan Gilbert's going to say, wait a minute, LeBron. Wait a minute here. I can't spend all this money and trade away a guy that I've got under contract for multiple more years in Kevin Love. I can't gamble that the two of you guys aren't going to walk on me. And LeBron, his mindset is, let's try to win the 2018 NBA championship. That's what we're going to try to do. And Dan Gilbert can't think that way.
I think Brian Windhorst, in about 15 seconds there, said what I've been explaining for many, 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 but much longer time, really for the last couple of weeks, that people have been talking about Paul George in Cleveland for Kevin Love. If Paul George comes here on a one-year rental, and he has already expressed his desire to go home, he's a native Los Angelino. There you go. He's a native of Los Angeles. He wants to go back to and play for the Lakers. He's already expressed that desire. LeBron, by signing one-year contract and this time a two-year contract, et cetera, has made it very clear that he is not committed to retiring in Cleveland. He did what he was asked to do. He did what he promised he would do. He brought a championship to Cleveland. I don't think he'd think twice at age 34 or 5 about walking and going into a different situation. If you're Dan Gilbert, Dennis Manteloff, you literally are risking that if this doesn't work out, Paul George leaves after the 1 year we get him for. LeBron follows him out the door. We've already traded Love to get him, and now we got Kyrie Irving and a bunch of ham sandwiches. And we're back to being one of the worst teams in basketball immediately. Whereas if we stand pat and make a run and get better at supporting players and become more athletic, if we stand pat in this regard and we lose and LeBron leaves, I still have one of the best point guards in basketball, one of the best power forwards in basketball, two stars in an Eastern Conference that I can add now a third, you know, a number three to replace LeBron as best as anybody ever could. And I could still be a contender in the Eastern Conference versus literally the worst team in basketball.
I hear you, but listen, this is a gamble that Dan Gilbert has to take, in my opinion. Because
I don't get that. I mean,
well, because I go
multiple years into the future for 1 year of Paul George, which may or may not even be enough to beat Golden State.
Well, first of all, you've sealed LeBron's exit if you back out or don't follow through with a trade for Paul George on that account. On the account that you just spelled out, the scenario you just spelled out, if that's what stops this trade, then LeBron is adios. What? He is guaranteed to be gone. Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, unless they miraculously win a title, which they're probably not going to do, he'll be so angry with Gilbert, he'll be
How
counting the days till
get
he gets
angry
out of
with
here.
Dan Gilbert, when Dan Gilbert has given him every single thing he's asked for, LeBron James, King James, has played his power card demand so many times to get JR paid and to get Tristan paid and to get Darren Williams brought, to get Kyle Korver brought. This is LeBron's team. He's the freaking GM. And now if he doesn't get to do it, and Gilbert's, what, $50, $60 million into the luxury tax? And now if LeBron wants Kevin Love traded and I want Paul George, and if they don't win, LeBron's going to walk anyway, how many times can Dan Gilbert bend over and kiss LeBron James' feet? I don't understand that thinking.
As long as he's here, because in my opinion,
get the hell out of here if he's going to
walk
after this year anyway.
See what life is like without him. I mean, just go right ahead.
That day is coming anyway. He's 30. He'll be 33 next season.
Okay,
that day's coming anyway.
Listen, here's my point. Okay, and I'm not trying to tangle with you. I know you get passionate about this. Here's the deal. In my opinion, I've said this a million times. Several times on your show. In my opinion, when they got together on the plane, LeBron had a list of demands or a list of, criteria. You must do this, 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 and this in order for me to come back because I'm so angry with you. And as he spelled out in the uninterrupted video, so my family was adamantly against me rejoining you because of what you said about me on my way out the door the first time. In order for me to come back, you're going to have to do the following. And one of the things I believe he asked for or demanded is you spend every last dollar that I ask you to spend. You sign my guys. You keep my guys. You do everything you can to, that money should not be an object.
Which he has done. Okay? And where is it? And where did that lead him this year?
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, you got three NBA finals appearances. That's not trash. Okay?
No, it's not. But what I mean is, I mean, he has gone $50, $60 million. He's not even making a profit. He's not even making a profit on the Cavaliers on an annual basis right now because of that salary cap. Or, excuse me, that luxury tax. He's not even making a profit. And LeBron has said, keep going into the red for me. Get me this guy, this guy, this guy. And Griffin says,
well,
you know, Griffin says to Dan, well, LeBron wants this. And Dan's, all right, here, give it
to me. Well, Bob, hold on a second. In my opinion, again, if my opinion is correct, and I have reason to believe that it is,
right.
Dan Gilbert signed off on that. He said, I will do whatever it takes to keep your guys here or bring your guys in or pay your guys. He agreed to that as part of the terms.
And he has done it. But my point is, at some point, though, doesn't that have to have an expiration date?
No. The expiration is when he leaves. That's the end of it, okay? Until and unless LeBron is gone, you do what you said you were going to do in the first place, because LeBron left a situation in Miami where he felt like he got jammed at the end. And so did D. Wade, for that matter. Now, you can argue the merits of whether it was legitimate and whether Harrison had his right to do what he did. And, you know, you can go through all that if you want. But I'm telling you, LeBron and Wade said, we got jammed at the end of our tenures in Miami. So we left. And LeBron said, I'm not going through that again with you, especially because of what you did to me on my way out the door the first time.
And I still love that piece of trash narrative that he continues to spew, like he was the victim of Dan Gilbert, not the city of Cleveland and the fans of the Cavaliers, the victim of the talent to South Beach. Give me a freaking break, King James. I mean, come on now. He can't rewrite history. I was victimized, and I'm doing you a favor, and I'm going to forgive your treacherous treatment of me as I jammed you at the end of my first tenure stint with the Cavaliers with a lay-down performance for the ages because I wanted out of Dodge.
Your real feelings toward LeBron are coming out, aren't they?
I've never hidden them. I cannot stand the man as a man.
Listen,
I think he is an absolute fraud of a human being who happens to be the most talented basketball player. When he wins games for my team, I will tolerate him. When you jam my team, when you tell the owner, and here's the other part, Dennis, I was getting at with all that, because I get your point about the plow. I suspect you're correct, by the way, that the plane ride, you know, that there was this agreement where Dan said, I will spend what you want to spend. What you want me to spend. You're probably 100% right about that. My point when I said doesn't something like that have an expiration date is to ask, when the circumstances change, don't both guys have to be flexible enough to say, okay, the circumstances have changed here. What I have suggested didn't work. And now if you're LeBron James and you're even a remotely decent human being, and that's a very questionable thing for me, if you're a remotely decent and honest and have integrity, you look at him and say, yeah, Dan, you spent $60 million over the cap for me and went into the luxury cap or luxury tax because I told you to. And guess what? Tristan didn't work out that well, especially in these finals. And JR hasn't worked out the well I wanted. And Korver didn't do what I wanted. I told you to do all those things. Maybe, just maybe, I should defer to the GM. And I should defer to you and decide whether or not this is a roll of the dice you want to take. Especially since, if like I said, and like Wendy said, if he does do this for LeBron, and he does say, okay, I'll trade Kevin Love away, a guy I've got control over for multiple years, who is an all-star at his position, and I'll bring Paul George here, and then if Paul George walks and you walk, because you know you only have a couple of years left at your peak to try to win another championship, and I'm left with Kyrie Irving and nothing else, because I don't even have Kevin Love anymore there. Who's hurt by that other than Dan Gilbert and the Cavaliers franchise?
Well,
LeBron's not
okay.
Hurt. He's going to go off into San Antonio or someplace and play with Popovich and Kawhi and take down the Warriors.
These are my counters. Number one, if I'm the king, I'm countering by saying, "Hey Dan, you're such a saint. You're such a wonderful guy. Why have you let David Griffin twist in the wind here? Why is he down to as far as we know?" 2 weeks left on his contract when it's absolutely imperative that we have a general manager in this offseason. Why haven't you come out and re-signed David Griffin for all the great work he did? That has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you and your relationship with David Griffin, which we know is strained. So, if you're so great, why haven't
that,
you secured your GM first? Number two, if I'm LeBron, my counter to Gilbert is, hey, we won the title in 16. I liked what we had coming in 17. And guess what? The Golden State Warriors added a guy that we could never have accounted for. We could never have imagined that a top five, top three player, top two player in the league is going to join a team that won 73 games. We had just gotten done beating that team. We figured out how to beat them, in my opinion. I'm talking LeBron.
Yeah.
So when we go into 16-17, or we think we're going into 16-17, with the chance to beat Golden State, we have them figured out. We've gotten them, you know, we've got them talking to themselves after 3-1. They counter with a move that no one saw coming, that was almost impossible to imagine in the salary cap era. And as a result, we got beat. It wasn't because my roster was terrible. My roster that I helped construct and David Griffin helped construct could have beaten the 16 Warriors again if they would have come back the same. But they didn't. They came back with Durant. So, because they did that, we need to counter move. And as you said at the top of the hit, our counter move cannot include adding somebody. And it can't include, I mean, adding somebody by a free agency. And it can't include, it cannot include standing pat. So we have to do something. Paul George is the only real option other than periphery. If we want to add little fringe stuff and try to upgrade our bench, that's all well and good. But we need an impact player, and here he is with an opportunity to help us. So
potentially,
we need to make the move to get him.
For 1 year, D-Man.
Well, you know what?
You made a very great case. I'm with you on a lot of what you're saying. You make a very compelling argument. But the fact that Paul George could come and collect a check from Dan Gilbert for a year and then be a Laker, and Kevin Love is gone, and now, and I promise you, if Paul George leaves and it's just now down to LeBron and Kyrie as the big quote-unquote two in Cleveland, LeBron will be gone as well. You know it, and I know it. If they lose to the Warriors for the fourth straight year and Paul George bolts for L.A., you know damn well LeBron is not sticking around with just Kyrie where they're going to go ahead and be worse and get be killed the next time. It is a certainty that LeBron and Paul George will both leave, and Kevin Love will have already been gone. And if you're Dan Gilbert, you cannot allow that to happen.
Okay, but here's my point to that. My counter to that is LeBron says, look, when we agreed for me to come back here the second time, my original deal that I signed with you guys was essentially a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. Okay? The first couple of years of my tenure were one-year deals with the option. So what you were signing up for a 1 year at a time situation. You didn't know that after my first season back, 14-15, that I was automatically going to stay beyond 14-15.
Yes, he did, unless LeBron James is a liar. Because LeBron said the only reason he's doing that is because he knows the next year the salary cap expands and my max can be bigger. So I'm just doing a one-year deal so I can max at a higher number the next year, not because I want an alternative to leave again. If he'd have said I might leave after a year, I hope Dan Gilbert would have told him to pound it.
Well, okay, the assurance was probably that I'm going to stay for a while, but there were no guarantees. I'm just saying by virtue of the contract language, it was possible. Even with the salary cap booming, it was possible that LeBron did walk after season 8 as a Cav. So, you're playing. In other words, my point is you're playing a year-to-year situation with LeBron anyway. This is the first time that in this second go-round that he's actually been locked into a two-year deal by virtue of his contract. So, you know, his point is LeBron's point is probably look. You know, we've been playing 1 year and evaluate scenario before. Why can't it happen again?
Because, first of all, that's LeBron and Dan Gilbert. And again, LeBron was giving the assurances that he's staying. He's only going to do that while he can max out bigger deals each year. Secondly, Paul George has not made such assurances if he were to come here. In fact, he made the opposite assurance when yesterday he said he wants to go play for the Lakers. That so it's not like we're playing a one-year deal with Paul, and we can probably convince him to come back again, just like I'm sure we'll work it out with LeBron by maxing him out again. With Paul George, it's dude wants to go home. And when he does, again, I submit to you, the LeBron goes from a big three of himself and Kyrie and Kevin Love to a big three of himself and Kyrie and Paul George, minus Kevin Love and minus Paul George, leaves just LeBron and Kyrie. And if you think he's re-signing long-term under just those circumstances in Cleveland, then I think that's insane. There's no way he's doing that.
Well, and okay, fine. Then my counter to that is, you think Kyrie's sticking around beyond the year after his contract is up after he sees LeBron and Paul George leave?
Under those circumstances, no. He's not, Dennis, you're making my point for me, brother. That's why you want to keep Kevin Love here. Because now if LeBron takes the I'm going to go to San Antonio or someplace, and you haven't moved Love for George, at least Kyrie still has Love. You still have an all-star point guard and an all-star power forward. And then
that's my point, though. You think Kyrie's sticking around with just Kevin Love? You got to be kidding me.
Well, he has a hell of a lot better chance than he does if he's got nobody, if it's just him and Tristan Thompson. Does he have a better shot at? You have a better chance of winning in the Eastern Conference with Kyrie and Kevin Love and building around those two guys, or Kyrie Irving and nobody, and then, of course, Kyrie saying, I'm out. I mean, that's what it comes down to is I'm looking long-term. LeBron and Paul George and you, by your assent to all of this, would be looking short-term, saying for 1 year, let's just do it, and then whatever happens later is we'll figure out. And
I don't
like that thinking.
Well, you're sealing LeBron. If you're Gilbert and you turn down this Paul George thing on account of the fact that you don't want to go through the one-year deal, then you're sealing LeBron's fate out of here. And as a result, you're guaranteeing to me that Kyrie is out soon thereafter because he's not sticking around. In my opinion, you differ, but in my opinion, he's not sticking around to try to build something with Kevin Love.
He's a lot more assured of sticking around with Kevin Love there than with Kevin Love gone. And in your scenario, Kevin Love is gone because you traded him for Paul George, who is also going to be then gone.
Wait. You know what we got to do?
By himself.
All right, here's what we got to do. Well, let's just say Bob France is in charge of the cast. You're telling me that you want to reheat, repackage, and microwave this crew and think they're going to win a title.
I want to replace probably four or five guys on this roster who are just taking up space on that bench and become younger, better, and more athletic, so that especially when our second group is in, they can do a lot more damage than this team did by getting outscored 35-6 or whatever it was off of the bench.
So you think the bench is the difference? You don't think that the high-end stuff is the difference? You think the bench will get you past Golden State with Kevin Durant?
I think the bench and better defense will go a hell of a lot further for this team, absolutely, than it did with this year's group. And secondly, D-Man, you know, Kyle Korver hits that jumper that LeBron fed him, we have a little bit of a different series. You know, if J.R. Smith doesn't no-show for two games and plays the way he did in the last three, and we win one in Golden State, we got a different series. The solution, in my estimation, is get guys like that who underperformed and missed clutch shots, play better. Play better as you are and get a hell of a lot better off of the bench. And you are in that series every step of the way. It's those guys who failed at the key moments, when they needed to step up and they were just no-shows. Tristan no-showed for 3 out of 5 games. JR no-showed for 2 out of 5 games. The bench no-showed for 5 out of 5 games. You get those things fixed. And I don't think you have to then gut this team to the point where after 2017, 2018, this team is what it was after LeBron left the first time. Kyrie Irving and 11 warm bodies that ought to be on a rec league someplace. Jim Cushman can settle it for us. Jimmy, go ahead.
Well, it's not really settling so much, and there are positives and negatives to every one of these arguments. Don't get me wrong, but what I want to know...
That's what makes it a good argument.
But what I want to know is how much on any of this kind of move gets delayed. You brought his name up because of the current contract, whatever situation with David Griffin. Is there likely to be a delay until he's either re-signed or a new GM? Do you have any insight on that? Because I got to believe that's a cog in all this. The fact that, you know, David Griffin in the Cavs GM spot is kind of in limbo as we speak.
It's a great question.
Well, I mean, Griffin's under contract through the end of the month, and he's going to fulfill those duties. So I guess he's taking calls or making calls regarding possibly trying to upgrade the Cavs roster, and George, I'm sure, would be involved in that or would be one of those calls. But, I mean, I think it just goes without saying that Griffin should be back as the general manager, regardless of what happens after that, you know, regardless of what talent is acquired or sent out or whatever. David Griffin should be the general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers for the foreseeable future. And as of this moment, there's question about that, and I'm quite frankly befuddled by it.
I am too. I don't understand it at all. Now, I do understand that he's being courted by a number of other franchises, right, who are going to be...
Yeah, but those jobs are not open anymore, though, Bob.
I know, but in other words, it's Griffin either re-signs with the Cavaliers or is unemployed, then I certainly don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like.
It was,
I mean,
a bidding
from
war.
What I've been able to see, the jobs he was supposedly available for are filled. Okay, so, yeah, I mean, either he, and I guess, I hope that's not leverage that Gilbert is creating over Griffin's head. Like, well, guess what? If you walk out of here, where are you going to go? You know, I sure hope that's not the case. But, yeah. I mean, listen, it would be embarrassing for this franchise, for the GM of a team that went to the finals three straight years, you know, arguably one of the great, well, not arguably, one of the greatest three season stretches in Cleveland sports history.
No doubt.
And you're going to let him walk out the door because over presumably money, because it can't be power. There's not an issue there. I think it comes down to compensation. And now, Gilbert...
I completely agree. Do you want to go back to the Chris Grant, Danny Ferry days? And I don't want to disparage those guys like I just did. But I mean, honestly, as you pointed out, they have been much more successful in this run with David Griffin than they have been really ever. And
Bob, one other thing. If there's any GM that I want to do what you laid out, which is periphery improvements, find some guys who are gritty, gutty defenders, it's David Griffin. I trust him more than anybody to find those guys that you're talking about that can potentially help this team if there isn't a blockbuster trade made.
I do too. Dennis Maniloff, Cleveland Plain Dealer. There is nobody I enjoy arguing with more than I enjoy arguing with Dennis freaking Maniloff. He's just such a pro. D-Man, thank you, brother, as always, and I look forward to doing it again real soon.
Love, Bob France. All right, man.
Brother. All right, way late. Let's get out now. Back in a minute.
The 2-1. Is hit deep to right field. This baby is long gone. Chisenhall with a three-run homer to right field. His second home run of the night, giving him 10 on the year. And that blows it open here for the Indians.
Uh-oh.
Francisco Lindor with a high drive to deep right field, and that one is gone. Oh, man, that's the Indians' fourth home run of the night. There's a long fly ball to deep right field, and it is gone to Souvenir City. Ramirez just climbed the 23-foot wall and right.
This guy is on fire.
This man has just hit everything in sight way out of here. Once again, he drives one to the second deck in left field for a home run. 15th home run of the year by Encarnacion. And there's another high fly ball, deep left field. Rosario is out of room. It's out of here once again. Edwin Encarnacion sends one to the middle deck in left field. His second straight homer in the game. And it's his third home run of the weekend.
Right now, he is getting locked in, and he's dangerous. And, you know, even the last at-bat when he rifles the ball to right field, you know, after pulling those balls for home runs. Sometimes, you know, when you get a guy like Eddie, you kind of hope that there's days like, you know, three-run homer, and you win some games because of that.
George on a thumper. That's an I mean it throw down. Here comes George. It's score all over the floor. We know that. Takes it inside. Just almost impossible to guard this guy one-on-one. Ball George flared out. Catch and shoot. And he gets it for three. George kept it back. Settles for one and splashed it.
George created space. Oh, and he got it to go. Here comes Paul George against Kevin Love. Right at the top, still finished it. Paul George spins away, sends it. Oh, how huge has he been down the stretch? He's got 40.
This is, to me, shows how much interest they have already. The fact that they are even entertaining the phone call from the Pacers without having an assurance from Paul George that he will indeed give them a verbal commitment to staying in Cleveland long term beyond a quote-unquote rental season shows that they're very serious in their interest. You look at what the Cavs have, the only piece that would make sense in terms of who they potentially would be willing to give up and who the Indiana Pacers would have interest in taking back would be Kevin Love. And the Cavs have to be able to look themselves in the mirror and answer this question. Does Paul George give us a better chance in a seven-game series against the Golden State Warriors than Kevin Love does? And if that answer is yes, then you probably should make that trade, even if it is only for one season, because as we all know, LeBron's going into year 15 next year, and next year is the only guaranteed year remaining for LeBron James in Cleveland.
LeBron's under contract for one more year. So in LeBron's eyes, he says, go get me Paul George. And Dan Gilbert's going to say, wait a minute, LeBron. Wait a minute here. I can't spend all this money and trade away a guy that I've got under contract for multiple more years in Kevin Love. I can't gamble that the two of you guys aren't going to walk on me. And LeBron, his mindset is, let's try to win the 2018 NBA championship. That's what we're going to try to do. And Dan Gilbert can't think that way.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Tell you what else, Dan Gilbert sure as hell can't act that way. Welcome as we get in hour number two. I would like to say start hour number two, but it's already 16 minutes old because we ran really late with Dennis Manilov in a really, really good spirited conversation. And
I apologize. Was fun.
Yeah, it was. And I apologize not for it at all because it really was fun. And I meant every word I said. You know, Dennis is a great friend. I've been a friend of Dennis Manilov's in radio for close to 20 years. And we have great conversations on the radio and off the radio. And I know him to be just about one of LeBron James' biggest fans and supporters. He was one of the few who really didn't even, you know, trash him for leaving in having the Decision TV show and going to Miami and everything else. He was a huge LeBron fan when he was with the Heat even. So and that's fine. You're allowed to be what you want. I have been just the opposite. I was LeBron's biggest fan from 2003 when he came in until 2010. I said at the time, when he was putting up historic numbers as a first-year player, 25 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, nobody else has done that. A second-year player, when it would come up to 28 and 6 and 6.
It was like 20, yeah, I want to say 27, 7 and 7.
Maybe that, you know, all of them. The point being, I mean, you know, because back then, if you remember 2003, 4, 5, Kobe Bryant was still the man.
Yeah.
You know, really. And I had a lot of people that I would argue with who would say, you know, LeBron's not as good as Kobe because Kobe's a better scorer, blah, blah, blah. Better shooter. He certainly was a better outside shooter, no doubt about that. Certainly, with a game on the line, I wanted Kobe Bryant with the ball more than I did LeBron James. But I argued with everybody that LeBron James was the more complete player. And he was. And it was very easy to defend. And he was young and aggressive and precocious and, you know, and really, for the most part, not extraordinarily egotistical as superstars go. You know, pretty decent with the press and all that sort of stuff. So I was a huge fan of his. Everything changed in 2010, and not just when he announced that he was leaving, but everything that I found out about what was going on before he left and how he left and why he left. And then, you know, the manner in which he treated Dan Gilbert as he left. That was a big part of this, too, because he didn't even have the courtesy of a, you know, a knock on the office door,
right,
a phone call saying, Dan, just so you know, I'm going to go on TV here, and I'm going to tell everybody on this ESPN special. And you deserve to know first. Thanks for everything. Really, really enjoyed the run. Sorry we didn't get there, but I really feel the need. I got to do this. If he'd have done that, there would have been no letter. There would have been no angry Dan Gilbert letter about King Nothing, and I guarantee you that the Cavaliers will win a championship before LeBron James does. But all that terrible stuff that went on wouldn't have happened if LeBron had just been a decent person, a respectful, respectable person. You just don't do that to somebody, okay? That's just ridiculous. So I lost respect then, kept that hatred up during the Miami years, was moderately impressed that he wanted to come home when he did, come back, I should say, but but then found out a few things that I will not say on the radio about why he kind of needed to leave Miami. So it was kind of like a little bit, you know, on a fence about that. But naturally, being a fan of my hometown team that I grew up watching, Jim Cushlin, you grew up watching and rooting for, I was going to root for him to be successful in Cleveland. Last year, when they won the championship, I enjoyed the hell out of the championship, praised him as the great player that he is. Still think probably should have been co-MVPs in the finals with Kyrie Irving, but he was the MVP. It's fine. Support him when he plays well. Can tolerate him when he is playing well, doing his job, et cetera, et cetera. But Dennis Manilow said, well, your true feelings about LeBron are coming out. They've never been hidden. I'll tolerate him when he's playing well because I want him to succeed for my team. But as a person, I don't have a ton of respect for the man. And I feel like I have very good reason to. So now that we're in this situation where Dennis is like, if the King says do it, then Dan Gilbert has to do it. Maybe because he promised he would. You know, and that question, that is up for debate. You know, he said that's a suspicion, if his sources are correct, etc. That's fine. Even if there was a promise by Dan Gilbert to LeBron James before LeBron agreed to come back that he would do and spend whatever it took, you know, according to LeBron's direction, which I really don't know if he would, but let's just accept that maybe he did. I don't know that Dan Gilbert would be that way, but okay. The circumstances have changed, and Dan Gilbert has done everything LeBron asked. I am more convinced than ever, after having that conversation with Dennis, that if they trade Kevin Love for Paul George, it's the death of the Cavaliers franchise after 2017-2018, as we know them. Because it is my firm belief that if they lose to the Warriors in such a situation, and Paul George walks and goes to L.A., which he is already saying that's what he's doing, if LeBron then walks, which I absolutely 100% believe, if he loses to the Warriors with the Cavaliers for the third time in 4 years, and Paul George is going to L.A., ain't no way LeBron is sticking around to try to find a way to replace Paul George, who replaced Kevin Love. Because now it's just him and Kyrie. He's gone. He's gone. As sure as I'm sitting here right now, he will be gone after 27-2018. Unless they win the championship. If they win the championship, maybe it entices Paul George to say, okay, I'll put off my L.A. homecoming dreams for a while. I'll sign a 2 or 3 year extension with the Cavs. Me and LeBron will try to defend the championship. If he did that, that's the only way this situation is salvaged for the next few years. But if Paul George is not enough to win the championship, or if they do win the championship and Paul George says, thanks, it was fun, but I'm going to L.A., LeBron walks, and now you are minus LeBron, minus Love, minus George. All that's left is Kyrie, and the franchise is doomed. Because then, as Dennis was saying, well, Kyrie's going to leave if LeBron leaves. Yeah, you're right. The only chance that he might not is if he still has a 2 All-Star platform on which to build if Love was still here.
Right.
And so to me, you guarantee Kyrie's exit as well. And you literally now are starting over with a brand new expansion type franchise. And that's something that I just cannot wrap my brain around. Go ahead.
No, and that's why there's positives and negatives about pretty much any of these angles, even the Stan Pat angle, you know, where maybe you work around some of the periphery and hope that in those circumstances you get a few better performances out of your Kyle Korvers and Darren Williams and whoever those guys might be, while keeping, you know, the main three, for example.
Well, I mean, truth, that to me is the biggest thing about this. As wide as the gap seems, that Jimmy, between the Cavaliers and the Warriors,
that's a national talking point. I don't believe that. I've been thinking about this for over a week. I don't believe that at all.
It looks like there's a really large gap there, and I have bought into it as well, especially after some of the routes. But as large as the gap may seem, the truth is, like I said, Kyle Korver knocks down that shot that he normally makes in his sleep, because he's well over 50% from threes from the corner, the short corner.
Yep.
If he knocks that down, it's a win.
Right.
Again, if JR and Tristan don't absolutely no-show in games 1 and 2, they win one of those. You're talking about maybe going to a game 7 here, and I don't know what would have happened, even with Kevin Durant
right,
playing out of his mind as he did for the Warriors. So to me, you know, it's not like this roster is so far below the roster of the Warriors, we have to do something drastic. It's how about we do something minor but important, and just have the guys who are already there play better. Make that shot. Tristan, don't go for 3 rebounds a game when last year in the finals you grabbed 10 rebounds a game.
Right, double-double.
J.R. Smith, who hit 5 threes in game 3, 5 threes in game 4, 7 threes in game 5, only took 5 shots in games 1 and 2 combined.
Right. You can't have that. So, those guys actually have to go out and earn the money that LeBron had their backs to get.
And I'll tell you
something
else. Even if Paul George would have been on this team instead of Kevin Love, they're not beating the Warriors this year with Smith doing what he did, Tristan doing what he did, Korver doing what he did or didn't do, Darren Williams making 1 shot, I think, in the entire 5-game finals.
And I still maintain, look at the numbers in the aggregate in all 5 games. I thought, relative to what the talking point would have been before the series, I thought Kevin Love had a decent, very decent series against the Warriors.
Oh, he did. Oh, no doubt about it.
We all thought he was going to stink, honestly. We all did.
There were 2 games where he did not have his shot. There's no doubt about it.
But he had a double-digit rebounds or a whole bunch of steals, one or the other.
Yeah, he had boards and steals and outlet passes and assists and still did very, very productive, positive things.
He wasn't overall, as much of a mismatch as I thought he was. Yeah.
So, you know, you get 18 points and 10, 11 rebounds a game from him in the finals. Don't blame him for the loss. And I still think people who are blaming him for the loss are doing so only for one reason, Jim, and that's because it takes the sting out of saying we have to trade him. Because we know that J.R. Smith is untradeable.
Right.
We know that Tristan is untradeable.
Right.
We know that LeBron and Kyrie are untouchable.
Basically.
And none of the rest of the roster will bring you anything. So the one guy that can bring you something that isn't untradeable is Kevin Love. And so, therefore, well, Love didn't do that well anyway, so let's upgrade from Love to Paul George. It takes the sting out of getting rid of Kevin Love to say that, well, he didn't do his part. That's bullcrap.
Yeah.
JR didn't do his part, at least for the first two. Tristan didn't do his part, really, for 4 out of 5. And as I said, Korver, Darren Williams, the other ancillary pieces did not do their job.
Exactly.
To me, you need to get faster, younger off the bench, more athletic off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
James Jones, nice to have you around as a player coach. Go put on a suit and be a real player.
We need
real
that
coach,
roster spot for somebody else. Yep.
Bingo. Exactly right. Richard Jefferson did some nice things in the limited time that he could, but again, the legs are just not what they were. And he's another really great guy to have around, but the roster spot needs to be improved.
Technically
Darren
speaking,
Williams.
I will say with Richard Jefferson now, James Jones, for example, you threw his name out a second ago. Now, he's a free agent. There's a lot of guys like him, Korver, Williams, they're free agents. For what it's worth, it's on Jefferson if he wants to come back because he's actually signed with the Cavs for 2 more years at a relatively cheap $2.5 million. So
remember, he tried to retire after last year. After
right.
The He actually retired, and they talked him into coming back for
right.
one more. And then, obviously, for what? One more and an option, I guess.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. But he's under Cavs control. He's not an already free agent like a James Jones is.
No, but I mean, they just need to replace those guys with faster, better defenders who can do some things off the bench, obviously.
Yep.
You know, I think you keep Korver around at a reasonable price because, you know, off the bench, again, he can score. And he can shoot. He did not have a good finals, but you need that element.
Now, luckily, he's already a Cav, so it may not have to be minimum because there's all those little clauses if he's already your own player kind of thing.
Yeah.
That'll help.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think they should keep him around. You know, but I think they need to improve on Darren Williams. He obviously just doesn't have it anymore. If it was 5 years ago, it's a different story. He certainly didn't have it in the postseason. But you get younger, better, more athletic, and you run at them again and hope that your stars play better. The fact of the matter is they're not just, you know, it's not like the Warriors are just out-rostering them so heavily that you have to do something drastic. It's just that the Warriors' best players outplayed them when the chips were on the line, when everything was in the middle of the table. JR didn't shoot. Tristan didn't shoot or rebound. You know, Korver could not hit, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, to me, I just think if you bring Paul George right now at the expense of Kevin Love, losing Kevin Love, you either win the title or that's it. You either win the title and then hope that he stays to defend the title with LeBron and they both re-sign for a year or two, or you decimate the franchise for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Because when you lose the title this time, George is going to L.A. LeBron's going somewhere else. Hell, maybe he'll go to L.A. with him.
Yeah.
Maybe LeBron and George will bring the veteran presence to L.A. that as free agents that would join with Brandon Ingram and D'Angelo Russell and put their little run together. out there in the in the Western Conference. Or like I said before, you know, maybe LeBron looks at Greg Popovich, for whom he has immense respect, and says, "Hey Pop, what do you think? You know, slide Kawhi over there to the two a little bit. Let me come in there and play a little bit of three. Keep LaMarcus at the four. We might have something special to do here."
Yeah.
And you know what? He probably would. It would be a very, very big threat to the Golden State, I think. You know, depending on what LeBron is like at 33/34.
Now,
could be some. But the point is, they would both be gone. Love is gone, and now Kyrie, seeing nobody else left around him, there's no other stars for him to play with. He would then be gone as soon as his deal was up a year after that.
And now, the thing is, for all of this, however it goes now, whatever ends up happening, from a Cavs perspective, there can't be any kind of counter move, you know, by the Warriors. Now they already made theirs. Now guys like Steph Curry finally have to get paid, you know, because how many times have we brought up in the past that relative to his current talents, he's underpaid. That's just because when he signed that deal, there's no more room. There's no more big thing coming into Golden State. They are, you know, what they are at this point, and now they're going to start joining the Cavs in those salary cap issues. I even just, you know, caught a glimpse of some today that Andre Iguodala is thinking of heading out. He did what he had to do in 3 years in Golden State. That'll be somebody that won't be easy to replace. And it really is still, at least for one more year, all about trying to beat that Golden State team, because no matter which angle you come from, yours, Dennis Manilov's, somewhere in the middle, the one universal here is there's minimum one more chance at this next season.
Well,
how
there
do you
is only
it?
One more chance.
I said
this.
Minimum. I said
I
minimum.
Know. Yeah, I'm saying it is only one and not more. Minimum implies one or more. You know, minimum means that's the least amount there could be, but there might be more.
Right.
I'm saying it's isolated on one in Dennis's scenario. If you stick with my scenario, I've got eggs in a couple of different baskets. All of them are in one basket in his scenario. And in LeBron's scenario, if what Dennis is saying is what LeBron would want, or as Brian Windhorst said, is what LeBron would want, all of the eggs are in beat Golden State next year, and that's the only possible outcome. Because if they do, then they might all re-sign again for a period of time to defend that championship. But if they don't win, it's over. Paul walks and goes to L.A. like he wants. LeBron follows and goes someplace else. And like I said, Kevin Love is already gone.
Yeah.
In my scenario, it's now you're at what you said, Jimmy, minimum one. Because minimum meaning that's the lowest amount it could be, but it might be more. Because if you keep, you know, LeBron is under, Kevin Love is under contract, Kyrie is under contract, JR is under contract, Tristan is under contract for multiple years to come. If LeBron will just keep running at it again and is saying, okay, now let's see what else we can do again without gutting everything, improving it, like I said, there's a chance he still says, I still want to be in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
There's a chance he doesn't.
Sure.
But to me, at least there's multiple eggs in the, or I'm sorry, multiple baskets carrying those eggs.
And it would be not prudent at all from Gilbert/Griffin's perspective, assuming it's still going to be Griffin, that you have to make sure that if the LeBron leaving after next year's scenario happens, you have to make sure this is not a 19-63 team the year after. That's what your main goal is.
That's
or
exactly
has to
right.
be on that type of angle.
Which,
so they,
again,
even
you know,
they will
publicly... in my scenario, I keep repeating it, and I don't mean to be beating that dead horse, but if LeBron chooses to bolt after this coming year, if they fail, with Paul George or without, if LeBron says, I'm going west, you have a better chance of being a contending team with two all-stars as your cornerstones, talking about Love and Irving, and then adding around them than you do with just the one, which would be Kyrie. And then, of course, since you're not going to be able to do anything there, he's going to, after his contract is up, is it 1 year after them? I don't know exactly what Kyrie's status is, if he would have two more years. I don't know if he's a free agent in 2020 or 2021.
Hang on, I'm bringing that up because they both, as you are saying, you are correct, they both have a couple of extra years. Let me find out exactly when they end.
I think Love is through 1920.
Love has a player option for 1920, so he's here through 18-19 minimum.
Right.
Well, Kyrie's goes through 1920, and I'm not seeing any options. So you're talking 1 to 2 years after next,
right,
for at least those two via their current contracts.
And to me, that's where, again, if David Griffin is still the general manager, then you build on that.
Yeah.
You know, and you find a replacement for LeBron. Again, nobody can replace LeBron. Take that as it's meant in the position standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You find another three. It's not going to be, you know, a great player like that, but it's going to be a solid. Remember, you still have two stars. And if you have two all-stars in the Eastern Conference, you are a contending team. If you have two all-stars, and I mean legit all-stars, not a guy who kind of squeaked in one
especially
year.
If LeBron is out west, then the East is truly wide open.
Exactly.
There's no giant roadblock. In fact, the West becomes an even more roadblock. It would be Warriors and wherever LeBron's in, and you might as well not even feel the team if you're not in that in the West.
Exactly. I mean, if LeBron stayed in the East and went to the Wizards or something, and you got Beal and Wall and LeBron, mm-hmm. you know, now it's a different, but it's not. It would be probably to the West to join one of the other powerful teams there that is just one superstar away from catching the Warriors, who just added Kevin Durant to build their team.
By the by, a side note, how interesting is that? Because how often have we often said, oh, he's never going to go west? Why would he go west when he could have the cakewalk in the East?
Yeah, well, it would be very ironic, but again, given the circumstances as they would present themselves, with the Warriors having added Durant and becoming a super team, it now will take the same thing. And if his super team in Cleveland fails for the third time in 4 years, and I think it is a super team because to me, the definition of a super team, and we had a little bit of a thing with this last week.
Yeah.
With LeBron saying, I've never been a part
of
a super team.
Right, yeah.
Give me a break. A super team to me is if you have a superstar, and I mean superstar, you know, one of the NBA's best, and you surround them with a minimum of two other all-stars, that's a damn super team.
LeBron's been
and when
on
LeBron
a super
was
team.
In Miami, he was a superstar. And Dwayne Wade was a kind of a on the back end of superstardom, but still an all-star.
Yep.
And Chris Bosh is an all-star. It's a super damn team.
Yep. LeBron's been on a super team since 2010, 2011.
Correct.
Let's be real here, folks.
So aside from that, the super team type that would have to challenge the Warriors is going to require perhaps two superstars, not one superstar and two all-stars. And I'm not playing semantics here. I mean, there is a difference between an all-star.
We have established this, at least in the NBA especially, yep.
Right. Steph Curry is a superstar. Klay Thompson is an all-star. Draymond Green is an all-star. That made the Warriors a super team already. When Kevin Durant joins Steph Curry, now it's two superstars along with two all-stars. It's a different level of super team. So for LeBron to say, I've got to find a way to pass that, I've got to at least match that.
Yeah.
He needs to join a team with another superstar. And that would mean playing with Kawhi or going to L.A. and playing with Chris Paul.
Right.
Or something in the, you know, in the, or going with Paul George to L.A. You know, because now you're talking about guys that might be considered two superstars to challenge the superstardom of Steph and Kevin Durant. And then, of course, you find the other all-star caliber type guys to, you know, try to neutralize or cancel out anyway, Klay and Draymond, and now you're on your way. And he won't be able to find that in the East.
No.
So him going to the West would be ironic indeed, but it would be for that very specific reason. All right, let me get out here, quick timeout. I want to come back and yell about Colin Kaepernick one more time, only because I have to, because he is playing a game, and so many people are being unwittingly played by him that they need to be called out for their stupidity as well. Colin Kaepernick is a joke. And I'm going to take a bite out of him in just a moment, but not before I get a quick timeout. And on the way to which I offer you an opportunity to go see Robert Easter Jr., Toledo's own, taking on Dennis Shafikov for the World IBF Lightweight title at the Huntington Center on June 30th. So it is coming up in 11 days. Robert Easter Jr., you want to go to the fight? I got tickets for you. Caller number 5, they're yours, 866-240-1065, right now on the ticket.
1065. Now back to the Bob France Extravaganza on 1065, The Ticket.
Indeed, we roll on. Before I yell at Colin Kaepernick for just a couple of moments, because I'm just so incensed by this this non-talent showman fraud and what he continues to do to sports, it's just driving me crazy. Before I yell at him, Jim, can we update just briefly the situation we mentioned earlier on with Victor Martinez? Because, again, we're talking about something that's much more than just baseball. Because
right.
Victor Martinez was released from the hospital Saturday
yep.
after suffering from a they're calling it rapid heartbeat, which I guess if it's not regular, it's irregular.
Yeah, that's so my interpretation,
heartbeat,
too.
Heartbeat, dizziness, cold sweats, and more. And he was released from the hospital, and he's going to be watched very, very closely for a few days. What do you got?
Yeah, he's basically going to be watched closely. They're going to keep monitoring. He is out of the hospital, as you mentioned. Tigers are on a West Coast trip, 4 in Seattle that start today, and then this coming weekend in San Diego, which incidentally means no DH, National League Park, and Victor's pretty much a DH only. So because of that schedule layout on top of everything, Victor is not traveling with the team this week. He's already been obviously put on the 10-day DL, which is obviously, I think, going to go more than 10 days. So he's going to stay in Detroit. They're going to monitor him. And what their hope is that he's well enough to start some working out kind of things maybe next week. That's pretty much all that they publicly more or less said at this point. And I got to believe with this whole situation, I would not expect Victor Martinez back even next week, even if he starts doing some baseball things. I got a hunch he's probably going to be out for a little while on this.
Yeah, I would think you're right about that, Jim. And to take his spot, by the way, John Hicks got called up from the Mud Hens. To take a spot. I think you had that already.
Yes. Well, that was a couple days ago because this was on Thursday's game.
Right, Thursday's game against the Rays. That's when he experienced the symptoms late in the game, according to the report. He underwent testing he was taken to the hospital that night, Thursday, then had more testing on Friday, stayed a second night, and was finally released on Saturday. So they're not sure. You know, Osmus said they're not even sure really what caused it or has caused it. But he said sometimes it's just a little blip on the radar and the body corrects itself on its own, and that's obviously what they're hoping. So, 10-day disabled list right now for Victor Martinez. One of my favorite guys, by the way.
Yeah, I never had a problem with him.
No, I've always liked him. Back when he was with the Indians, since he's been a Tiger, didn't really matter. I've just always been a big fan of Victor Martinez. I like his professionalism. I love the way he approaches hitting. I love the way he approaches the clubhouse and teammates, opponent. He plays the game the right way.
Yeah,
one of those guys that you just have a deep amount of respect for, and I do. Okay, the exact opposite of Colin Kaepernick. And so I just need, you probably already know this, and you're probably sick and tired of this non-talent who's not in the NFL right now and all these constant stories about why he's not on an NFL roster. You're probably sick of them as I am, which is why I don't bring them to you every time there is a story. But this one just really, really upset me because of his continuing attempt to blame racism on his own lack of a roster spot in the National Football League. Now, we know his story by now, his failing to stand for the national anthem last year and his big protest and how it's not fair for minorities in this country. Police officers are murderers and racists and all this other nonsense he's tied into. Just this progressive justice warrior or social justice warrior that I just have no tolerance for in general. And I typically keep that out of my sports conversation. But Colin Kaepernick went just a little bit too far over the weekend. He tweeted on, what is today? Today's the 19th, so this would have been Friday. He tweeted on Friday afternoon. Would have been after we got off the air, had I been on Friday. He tweeted a picture of a police officer's badge and a badge, a starred badge of what used to be back in the 1700s and early 1800s, runaway slave patrol. And it's a meme. It's something you'll find on a lot of leftist progressive websites. And it's a picture of the two badges side by side. And it says, you can't ignore your history. Always remember who they are. The suggestion that police officers, modern day police officers, are no different than slave catchers. And Colin Kaepernick's caption that he tweeted with that photograph, quote, a system that perpetually condones the killing of people without consequence does not need to be revised. It needs to be dismantled. Now, he's responding to the controversial acquittal of a police officer and an officer-involved shooting in Minnesota, the details of which I will not get into because this isn't the right forum for it. But what he is doing is reviving what he said he was going to put to bed. Kush, do you remember what this hypocrite said just about 3 months ago when he decided he was going to opt out? Remember, he could still be under contract with the 49ers.
Yeah, that's true.
He opted out. He didn't get cut. He opted out of his contract with the 49ers because he didn't like the fact that he wasn't starting all last year and he had to share the job with Blaine Gabbert for a while, who's pretty much terrible. And he opted out thinking he can make big money and start somewhere else. Well, guess what? He hasn't found a job. Not only does nobody want him to be their starter, nobody wants him to be their backup. His argument, And the argument of those who stand with him in his well, let me back up again. I apologize. When it became clear that he wasn't going to have a bunch of general managers burning up his phone to say, hey, come and play for us, he made an announcement that he would not be doing the protest thing this year. He would not be kneeling or sitting for the national anthem this year. So anybody who's worried about that, don't. I'm done with that, he said. I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, which, of course, is nothing. He did nothing. He changed nothing. In large part because there was nothing for him to change. But he just played the don't hold it against me, I won't make you look bad by doing this protest thing next year for whatever team I'm on, hoping that would give him an opportunity. Well, 3 months have gone by since that proclamation, and he still isn't on a team. Those who support him and his cause suggest very clearly and directly that he's being blackballed by NFL owners, that the owners, not wanting to deal with their fan backlash if this guy and his unpopular stance comes to their city, have agreed essentially nobody sign him. That would be collusion, by the way, which is illegal. Blackballing somebody might not be illegal, but it, you know, unless, again, there was a specific conversation held and an agreement reached among the owners to collude with one another. But it's just kind of like a, hey, nobody else is doing it, we ain't doing it either. His supporters say it's because he's of his race and because of his previous stand and his support of groups like Black Lives Matter and, of course, his opposition to the American military, to the American police officer, to the flag of the United States, which represents our liberty in the greatest nation on earth. That's what his supporters would have you believe. I find it very, very curious, and I find it very interesting that a guy who 3 months ago said, I'm done with the protests now, you can sign me, suddenly doesn't have a job, and he's right back on the protest game with that tweet. And as I tweeted this morning personally, not from our ticket Twitter feed, but as I tweeted this morning, well done, Cap. Nice strategy. Post more stupid, hateful, inaccurate stuff so that you can then keep blaming racism for you not making a roster. Because guess what? It's my belief there's not a blackballing going on here. There's not racism going on here. If racism was being practiced so wantonly in the National Football League, why is it 70% black? Why did Deshaun Kizer and Deshaun Watson make up two-thirds of the top three quarterbacks taken in this year's NFL draft? If this is a racist situation, why are black players dominant and why are black quarterbacks as plentiful as if they've ever been in the National Football League? It has nothing to do with your race, Colin Kaepernick. It has nothing to do with your protests. It has to do with your attitude, your lack of leadership, and your price. It's my view, and I'm speaking only for me, not for the radio station, not for anybody else. It's my view that Colin Kaepernick is one of the top 96 quarterbacks in the world, meaning that at this stage of the NFL calendar, where most teams have at least three quarterbacks on their roster, a starter, a backup, and a third developmental guy to go into training camp with, he should be on one of those teams, in one of those 96 spots. And it's my belief that he would be. Protest, race, and all. If he wasn't such a miserable human being asking for far more money than anybody is going to be willing to pay him to be their backup. Every time a quarterback is signed, like Austin Davis was signed in Seattle, Blaine Gabbert was signed by, dang it, I can't remember, he's so irrelevant. But Blaine Gabbert was signed. Every time one of these guys is signed, Colin Kaepernick and his crew get out there and say, see, I'm being blackballed because of my race. These white quarterbacks are being signed, and they're nowhere near as good as I am. Never does he nor they touch the fact publicly that these guys are signing for less than $1 million a year, that they're signing bargain basement contracts to be backup quarterbacks because they know it's their only shot of sticking in the league. Never once has Colin Kaepernick nor his agent put out a presser saying, attention NFL GMs, I will play for the league minimum, under $1 million a year, whatever it is, to be your backup, and I will do my best to make somebody's team. Remember, this is a guy who was making an average of $12 million a year when he opted out of that deal with the Niners. He's looking for something similar that he's never going to find. And rather than admit no team is going to sign him for that money because he's just not good enough, he's going to stick with the, they hate me because I am a protester, because I'm a social justice warrior. And in order to further that point, his strategy now is, let's post some really controversial crap calling today's modern police officers slave catchers. Make people hate me some more so that I can then go back and say, see, I don't have a job because I'm black. Colin Kaepernick, it's not going to work. We're on to you. We're smarter than you. We're ahead of your game, and we're not going to fall for it. If you really want to play back in the National Football League again, Colin, apologize to the American police. Apologize to the NFL fans that you embarrass. Apologize to the American military. And then tell the GMs you'll play for the league minimum. You'll get a phone call in 5 seconds. You can be a backup someplace. Change your attitude, change your leadership, and maybe you can change your situation. That's it. Music's playing. I got to get out. Stay where you are. Drive Time is coming up next. Jim Kushlin is in for Mike Miller right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. We'll see you tomorrow.